This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
They've stayed relevant.
It is Tuesdays with Elliot. They took a dip, and then they came back.
Yeah.
They came back. They got to get rid of Big Justice, though.
Someone say they have risen.
They have risen.
That was a good Easter joke. I saw a lot of that.
Dynamite Easter joke.
A lot of Twitter jokes with that.
Val, my wife and our sister-in-law, Paige, were in...
Happy birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Val. Yeah. We're in New Orleans, and they saw a He Has Risen t-shirt.
Yes, I saw this post
as well.
Did they get it for you?
No.
It's so funny, because I was going to message... They must have been Paige that posted it. You need to get this for Spike.
But I would have worn it. I would have worn it.
I was expecting to see you in it.
So, real quick, and I don't want to do this the whole time, but you're... The idea of... Jalen and prove it year next year, and you saying he proved it last year. You can debate whether he next year's a prove it year for him. I think it is. I think if the defense isn't going to be as good and the team's going to rely on the offense, it's going to rely on him to throw more. He's going to have to take more on his shoulders. There's not going to be as much Saquon. I think it's definitely that next season is on him in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You saying that he proved something last year, he certainly had a great NFC Championship game and a great Super Bowl, but his season did not prove anything.
Well,
to
so
me.
Obviously I disagree with that. So a couple of things. One, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you look it up, like, he wins a higher percentage of shootouts than most starting quarterbacks, and when he has to throw the ball 35 times or more, they have a better winning record than a lot of other starting quarterbacks. So in terms of him having to prove he can win shootouts,
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he has to prove he has to win a shootout.
But that is what you're saying. You're saying if the defense isn't good enough, can he carry them to wins consistently? That's what you're saying.
Right.
And I was just about to say, I acknowledge there's a difference having to do it 16 games as opposed to like three times a year, right?
Thank you.
So I agree with you that if he every week has to get this team in the 30s, like, that's going to be hard. I do think, though, that is setting a bar that most quarterbacks can't reach, for what it's worth.
Well,
a lot of quarterbacks, when they have to throw the ball 35 times or more...
But see, you're jumping again.
Why?
Nobody's saying he has to throw 35. They're saying...
That's what...
No, what I'm saying is, it's very clear. What I'm saying is, what happened in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl was not him throwing it 35 times. It was him throwing it effectively 24, 25 times. Mm-hmm. There was a extended period of the season this year where he was throwing it 17 times, 18 times, taking a ton of sacks. And you saying him getting into the 30s is not realistic. Let me say, they scored 27 points a game last year. So if you don't think his increased value can mean three more points when the Detroit Lions are scoring more than 30 points a game, the Buffalo Bills are scoring 30 points a game, and the Buffalo Bills far fewer weapons than Jalen has.
I agree.
He absolutely can be worth a quarterback going from 17 passes a game to what he did in the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl can absolutely be worth 3 points a game and absolutely have them win scoring 30 points a game.
I feel like what you're asking him to do, you're also in your thing referencing him doing it.
He twice.
Did it. Correct. But what games this year did they need him to do what you're talking? Now I know you're doing what he doesn't need, right? But
they will need next year.
Okay, and we'll see if he can do it there.
Yes, and then he'll have to prove it.
So he'll have to prove it.
There it is.
Oh, no.
Discussion over.
No,
he'll have to prove it. We'll see if he can do it. He will have proven it.
A prove it year is different.
Right, Jack? Am I wrong? Am I right? He'll have to prove it.
He has stuff he has to prove. That is not a prove it year. He is one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. I think he's number two.
Can he have the year he had last year and then be as good as people think that they
are? Yes, of course.
There's no way.
Why?
Because you just said their defense is going to be worse.
Saquon is not going to be as good as he was last year, and the defense is not going to be as good.
We think. I agree they probably won't be. But
I'd be shocked if they are.
But again, and I know you guys hate when I bring this up, but like the things he did last year, he took care of the football. He was good against the blitz. Mm-hmm. Like those
He was not that good against the blitz.
He was six in the NFL against the blitz.
He when pressured, he
But that's
had,
different than blitzing. It is, just for what it's worth. If you want to talk about
his sack rate when blitzing was like 28th in the NFL, and there are stats now that show that taking sacks is worse than throwing interceptions.
Okay, so last year, Jalen had a passer rating of 115 against the blitz, which was 6th in the NFL.
Yes,
so,
but that is passer rating.
Yes,
it doesn't count sacks.
It does not count sacks. You're okay. Right. But he completed over 70% of his passes. He had like 12 touchdowns to one interception. So what I'm saying is going into next year, if Jalen takes care of the ball, is good against the blitz, those are massive things. So I'm not as concerned or interested in like him proving if he throws it whatever number you want to pick, more times per game. Like, I didn't, last year, their passing offense definitely had stretches where it struggled. I agree with you on that, for sure. But also, every single time they had to pass the ball, they were good at it.
But
like,
I think that is a false claim.
But
had to pass the ball. They're an NFL team. They always have to pass the ball.
But that's like saying to someone, like, can you run a 10-minute mile? It's like, well, only when I have to. Well, that's the only thing. Like, whenever I'm asked to do it, I can do it. Like, what's your saying?
Wait, okay, all right, you want to take races? Do you think that a marathon runner goes into it and says, I only have to run 1 second ahead of the number two guy, or I have to run my best race?
Of course, it's run the best race.
Okay, yeah. So he has to play his best game. It's not about throwing it when he has to. It's about the best version of the Eagles' offense is with him throwing the ball effectively.
Correct, but that same racer, if they win the race by 1 second or by a minute, they still won. So to your point about next year with Jalen, can he win a certain way? There's not a way in the NFL we have not seen Jalen win. Like, does that mean he can't do it? Like, we'll see if he can do it over longer stretches. Sure, but honestly, in 2022, he threw the ball a ton, and they made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So we've seen
that was
him
3 years ago.
Right. But
he followed it up by leading the league in turnovers. And then for the first four games of last year, leading the league in turnovers. And the team instructed him to throw the ball.
Hold on. But when you say like a prove it year, that's implying he hasn't done it.
Right.
What you're asking him to do, you just said
he's done it before.
He did it in 2022.
Yeah.
And
Max Kepler hit 25 home runs in 2022. Do you think Max Kepler is proving that he is a power hitter now? Or
no,
do you think this year Max Kepler has to prove what he did 3 years ago?
But it would sound foolish if I came up here and said Max Kepler cannot hit 25 home runs when he's already done it. Now, he might not do it next year, but obviously he can do it.
No. Obviously, he did it. It doesn't mean he can still do it.
But
all right, let me jump in here a little bit. Let me jump in here a little bit. Because I'm obviously leaning with Elliot on this. I don't think anything he's being asked to do is unattainable. These things he can do. In 2022, he threw the ball 30 times a game for 15 games. 416 attempts. It was 30 times a game in 2022. He had a completion percentage of 66%, over 66%. More impressively, his average per completion was 8 yards. That was one of the tops in the league that year, and he only threw 6 interceptions. Now, he's had the average completion be 8 yards or better twice.
And I think last year he had it.
So, I was just about to say one of them happened to be last year. So he threw the ball on average 31 times in 2023. So 2 years he's thrown the ball 30 or more times. Last year he threw the ball 24 times a game.
And if we look after the first four games, it was probably lower than that.
Yes, but here, you're right, it was.
Yep.
But here's the thing. The key to all this is the turnovers.
Yes.
So it's really him taking care of the football.
Yes, because you would admit that last year when we were talking about him, you would reference 2022 and say, where is that guy?
Yeah.
So the ability for him to do that again, clearly something happened. Whether it's defenses adjusting, whether it's something that happened with him, something happened between 2022 and 2023 that that did not allow him to be as effective a player as he was in 2022. His best year, if we're talking about regular season, was by far 2022.
Yeah.
He had a better year in 2022 than he had in 2023. He had a better year in 2022 than he did in 2024.
So I will not fight you in 2023.
But to me, in 23, it was the turnovers.
Yes.
Yes, but that's part of it.
No, I know, but if we think about it, like,
one point, Josh Allen led the league in turnovers for like a 3 or 4 year period there.
Yep.
Then he cut the turnovers out. And he didn't win the MVP.
Sure.
So if we get Jalen to take care of the ball, in other words, I'm saying from a physical standpoint, he has the ability to do it. It's more or less, meaning some guys can't throw the ball as much because they aren't as good.
Right.
His job, his thing is going to be taking care of the football when he has to throw.
And I would even say coming into this year, people had questions about Josh Allen in a lot of ways. We talked about the
some people, they voted him the most overrated player in the league.
Football.
So I think that
which is, you know, like, ridiculous.
You
but.
Say like there's yeah. something that happened, right? And I know you're not literally saying one thing, but I do think it's a lot of things. Like, so from 2022 to 2023, he went from his awesome year, right? And then the league adjusts. Like, so CJ Stroud's rookie year. After that, if you would have told me I could pick any quarterback in the NFL to start a team with, I would have made a strong argument for CJ Stroud. Last year, he took a step back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 2023 was a combination of things. One, the Super Bowl hangover is very real.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I do think the league adjusted to the Eagles and they did not adjust well back, and that was in on Jalen. Three, I do think he got way more reckless with the football, and maybe that's because he was, I don't know, like feeling himself coming off 2022. Who knows? But the turnovers became a problem. But last year, you're right, the beginning of the year did not start out good, and that's part of it. But I think you lean too much on like this massive shift to the running game. They had Saquon Barkley in a great running game, and Jalen still had to make a lot of big throws, and he still took care of the football. And as good as Saquon could have been, if Jalen wasn't really good, they would not have won. That's the reality.
We had to make throws against Cincinnati to win that game.
Correct. The issue is also they were up big in a lot of these games. I know, like, it is just true. When you're killing 9 minutes of the fourth quarter, your pass attempts are going to be down. But again,
that's not even that true.
That is what happened. It's literally what happened against Baltimore, and it happened against Pittsburgh.
Elliot, if I'm making too much of the shift in offense, you're not making enough
of
it.
So it's probably in the middle.
They write stories about their shift at the bye week.
Yes.
Like it is the most famous bye week in Philadelphia Eagles history.
You also only talk about the shift to the running game. Jalen also was much, much smarter with the football afterwards.
But he was, you're saying smarter. He was taking more sacks and he wasn't throwing the ball as much.
Correct.
That's just what happened.
He was throwing the ball less. I agree
with
that.
And taking sacks.
Yes, he was taking sacks. But also, when the ball was being thrown, he was much smarter with it. And so, as awesome as Saquon was, and as awesome as the defense was, I think there is a strong argument to be made. The number one reason the Eagles were as good as they were last year is because they consistently won the turnover battle. And that begins with Jalen not turning the ball
over. Throwing the ball. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Show the mom in your life how much she means to you this Mother's Day with a special gift with your purchase. Details at marks-jewelers.com. Can I read the poll?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. You don't even have your own headphones. You're trying to act like the host of this show.
Yeah.
All right. Are you disappointed in the Eagles offseason? 87.6% say no. Go ahead.
I forget what I was going to say.
All right.
No, this was it. I'll look this up. I'd be curious to know where they ranked in passing attempts for the first half in a year. Like last season, where they ranked.
The first half of games.
Yeah, exactly.
First half post bye.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do post bye.
Okay.
Because I firmly do believe that they threw the ball less in the second half because they were up in these games. Now, like other teams were up big too, right? But they had a running game to lean on other teams didn't have.
All right. So let me ask you this about the draft.
Yes.
Just so we can put this Jahad Campbell thing to bed, because I need you on the record.
Okay.
All right. So prior to the draft, you nor any of your beat reporter brethren, as they were slobbering over
your guy's friends,
Walter Nolan,
right?
nobody mentioned Jahad Campbell.
Correct.
So they draft Jahad Campbell, and you say, I believe, on your podcast, Go Birds, where you can get wherever you get your podcast, comes out every day, that you believe it was a great pick because they see him as an edge. So my question is, if he ends up primarily being an off-ball linebacker, is it still a great pick?
No. Okay. Unless he's if he's a great player, then you can argue any pick's a great player.
Yeah.
Like, they could have drafted any position in the first round. If the guy's a Pro Bowl player, it's a great pick.
Yep.
But I firmly believe they drafted Jahad Campbell because of his edge potential. I think they believe he can be a good defensive piece and can play linebacker. And I think he will play linebacker next year for a decent amount of snaps. But he would not have been their pick if not for the edge potential that he has.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And is that a failed evaluation if he doesn't end up playing mostly edge? All right.
Just like with Jordan, honestly, he doesn't. To me, it's not
if he's Roquan Smith or Fred
if he's
Warner.
A great player. But it's similar to the Jordan Davis pick in the way that when they drafted Jordan Davis, he had to be something that he wasn't in college.
Right.
Campbell in college was not a great edge rusher. They're hoping he can become a great edge rusher.
The other thing that I don't think we've heard much of, I don't know if you heard Mayock on the show yesterday, but we asked Mike about the injury thing. Because he made an interesting, not surprising, but when we first had him on draft time, he said that the deal with injury stuff is every team basically gets the same injury information and you have to decide how much it means to you. And I said Mike had Jihad Campbell going ninth to the Saints. And I said, okay, so he must have slipped because of the injury. Why would the Eagles look at the shoulder thing and think it's not a big deal? And he said the week prior to the draft, there was another knee thing that had gone on. Mm-hmm. Now, he had arthroscopic surgery on his knee in 2023. Apparently, it wasn't that big a deal. But Mayock said that there was another knee thing. Do you have any insight on that knee thing?
I don't have insight on the knee thing. Okay. The only information I know, and this is not from the Eagles, is that, like, I believe Jihad Campbell will be in training camp. And I don't think, look.
What do you mean in training camp?
Like, I think he will be participating in training camp.
So week one of the Eagles season, do you believe Jihad Campbell will be on
barring a setback?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you think he'll be on the active roster?
Yes. And so real quick, too, on the injury. So I don't know if you guys talked about this, but Albert Breer wrote about it. Did you see this? He said.
I saw the clip.
Two shoulder injuries and two knee injuries is how he framed it, right?
Right.
And he said, but the Eagles can take that chance because they don't need the pick to hit. I completely disagree with this, like, as a luxury pick. For them to continue to keep being good, this has to hit. Like, you can't just miss on picks because you have talented players on your roster.
Well, especially when you're banking on the draft to replenish the talent.
So there's a lot of pressure on Jihad Campbell to be good. This is not. If it hits, it hits.
It's not.
The window can close quickly when you start missing on your picks.
Wait.
Jihad Campbell has to hit.
Well,
he does.
I'm with you in a general sense. We all wanting to hit, but you can't tell me somehow if he doesn't hit. Say the medical concerns come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood. We don't want it to be there. But two shoulder injuries, two knee injuries, it's there. What do you think? The Eagles are going to crater because Jihad Campbell is a medical concern and he can't stay on the field?
So, no, I don't think they're going to crater.
Then that's what Albert Breer is talking about.
No. But that, to me, in what Albert Breer is saying, that's like 2025. But the Eagles, to continue to be good.
And they got 30 picks where they can pick another linebacker
next
year.
And they have to hit on these picks, is the point I'm making. Is the talent they have on their roster right now will only take them so far for so long.
That's like saying if they had taken a corner, you're going to tell me they had to hit on that pick or we're in trouble?
That's
not true.
But the biggest asset they had this offseason was this draft pick. The best chance they had to improve the team for next season and for the future was this draft pick. They didn't spend big in free agency.
No, they didn't. That's why they took a position that maybe or maybe not works out. We don't know if
I think it's a very Eagles pick. It's a high risk pick. I think Jihad Campbell is a high risk pick.
Yeah.
And I like that about it. I like taking a big swing, especially that late in the draft. But if that big swing misses, it sets the team back.
It's a low risk. It's only a high risk because he's a first round pick. And it's the second to last pick in the first round. So it's basically a high second round draft pick, which we would agree all these guys basically graded out as second round draft, because you guys aren't franchise changing players. I didn't see a lot of those in the first round of this draft. I just didn't.
And I think Campbell actually could be one of them. Like, I think he is one of the guys that has a high enough ceiling.
A franchise changing player.
Yeah, I think
shown himself to be that.
He's always going to be a nice player.
Yeah. He hasn't been Abdul Carter.
Yeah. I think because of his physical makeup and ignoring the injuries, I'm talking like when he's healthy, his game is a higher ceiling, in my opinion, because I agree with you. This draft was not filled with special players, right?
Yeah.
Like Mason Taylor at 32 or 31 would have been such an underwhelming pick. Jihad Campbell, to me, has a high ceiling, but also has a very low floor.
It's a luxury pick.
But I don't think you can view it that way.
Keith in Clementon was Jihad Campbell's sixth grade teacher. Keith, you're on WIP.
Do you like the pick?
Hold on, let me tell you off the speakerphone.
Move by him.
What's going on, man?
What's up, Keith?
Doing well. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay, first of all, what subject did you teach?
I was a math and science teacher in sixth grade.
Oh, now those are the best classes.
He was a solid A. Yeah, right. Student.
Wait, hold on. He was a what? Say again?
He was a solid A, B student.
We like that.
He was smart. He was articulate. He could always, whenever he had a problem to solve, he was really good at it.
Now, when he was like doing math and science, did you feel like he was more of an edge or a linebacker?
True answer would be edge.
But, yeah. Okay.
He probably was the biggest kid in the class, though, right?
No, he wasn't. He was tall, but he wasn't like big.
Okay, I got you. Yeah,
it does seem like he has a big personality. Like, and even at just the two times,
I was going to say, how was his personality? Could you tell then?
He has. Like, I think
not
he has,
you. I'm talking to the teacher.
You don't even know him. Would you shut up, Elliot? Jesus.
Yeah, turn off his mic.
Shut up.
He wasn't shy.
Okay.
We got you. Yeah.
Okay.
He had a problem. He went for it. Like he was such a good kid, man.
Okay.
And like when I saw him, I actually had to talk to another teacher. She's like, "Do you know this guy that drafted last night was our student?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it was John Campbell."
That's amazing. And what school is this?
This is Winslow Township School Number 5. I was a sixth grade math teacher. Hillary, if he's hearing this, hello, John. This is Mr. K.
There you go. Awesome.
I lived maybe 10 minutes away from that school.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I lived down in Sicklerville. I lived down in Windham Hill.
Down there. Yeah, that's off of Sicklerville Road.
Yep. Down there in Sicklerville. Well, Jahad played against Elijah in high school.
He
played against my son in high school.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did he stand out?
My son
out
played
in the
over there. Yes, he was. Well, he and the other kid from Boston College.
Oh, Ezeraco.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Keith. All right, Mr. K, rather.
It was good talking to you guys.
All right,
you too, brother.
I'm calling ever one of your college shows, by the way, but I figured I had to today.
Well, we grade you as an A-plus caller today.
Yeah, I love hearing
when he's a solid AB student, like no joke.
I love it.
Every subject, math and science and language arts, too.
Wow.
I didn't teach him that stuff, but.
All right, Mr. K. Appreciate you. Don't be a stranger.
I'll have to ask Jahad about this.
All right.
You remember Mr. K from school number 5, whatever the name of that school was.
Winslow.
Yeah.
Winslow school number 5.
Winslow school number 5 really rolls off the tongue.
What about Winslow school number 3?
Yeah, is that on the hoodies?
Well, Timber Creek is a pretty good high school over there.
Yeah?
Is that Winslow? Or is that different?
Well, it's the high school.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, it's the high school.
Good draft for South Jersey.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Like, we got to get Southeastern PA back up.
All right, Elliot. Well, the Go Birds podcast, Go Birds Daily, every single day. You can get in your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Another excellent appearance by you.
Jahad will be a fantastic player, but if he's not,
no worries.
We'll get another one next year.
And he does have a big personality.
Yeah, big personality. AB student. Solid AB student.
Love it.
Brian Baldinger joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.